Legion.
Tell you what, I've really been enjoying studying Ephesians again. It's always been one of my favorite books in the Bible, where Paul is reminding this church all that they have in Christ, and where I like to be reminded of all I have in Christ. And it's just a great book. And I've really enjoyed studying it. And we're going back, start at the beginning again, chapter 3, and verses 1. And I see so much stuff in this chapter, and actually the others too, but I got a little rabbit trail we're going to run this morning. Ephesians chapter, beginning reading in verses 1 of Ephesians. In whom ye also, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. This morning, we're going to look a little bit at this dispensation of grace that was given unto Paul. And we're going to begin reading, and you find that Paul's gospel, the dispensation of God's grace through Paul unto a Gentile church. Now, you got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans, chapter 15. And Paul mentions a lot in here about how that this dispensation of grace that was given to him. We're going to begin reading in verses 1. We then who are strong ought to bear if infirmities are weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. I want you to notice that word "a" right there. A minister. He was one of many. There were many ministers that were sent to the circumcision. He was a minister to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again, he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. I want you to notice that, his people. The Gentiles were not a people. We were just hogs and dogs. Amen. But he said, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. But every time you see that word, people, or his people, it's talking about the nation of Israel.
Yes, sir.
Now, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Again, praise him, ye Gentiles, and laud him, ye people. Again, it's talking about Israel. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. Now we looked at that in Ephesians, where he's talking about he came, he preached to them that they might have knowledge. So he's preaching to them, saying to them, okay, you're full of goodness. So if they're full of goodness, guess what? They got Jesus Christ. Well, there's none good but God. So they're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. Now, who has all this knowledge? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, you know nothing. The Bible is spiritually discerned. So these are believers, filled with all knowledge, also able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written them more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be, notice that word, the minister. Now, if I tell you I saw a dog running across the street, that could be one of various many dogs, right? It could have been a German Shepherd. It could have been a Doberman Pinscher. It could have been a Beagle, you know. It could have been a Sooner. Huh? Could have been a Biscuit Eater. But if I said I saw the dog running across the street, that's one dog. One dog in particular. And Paul said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain unto God. Now, Paul, and this is important, you say, what are you saying in this? It's important that we understand who our minister is. It's important to understand who our apostle is. If you don't, you'll get over in these other books, these Jewish books like Peter and James and the books of John, and next thing you know, you're teaching heresy. Because these are different dispensations, and God is working. You say, well, and I agree with the preacher. Everybody is saved the same way. They saved through Jesus Christ by his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. But he works differently in different dispensations of time. We're not going to build no ark to be saved. We're not going to endure to the end for our flesh to be saved. That's for those that's going to go through the great tribulation. We are not kept by the power of God. We're in Christ already. We're kept in Christ. But if you read over in the book of Peter, those that are going to make it are going to be kept by the power of God, for they have not the Holy Spirit. They're waiting to be redeemed, because Peter's dealing with the kingdom, the coming kingdom, and you're back getting ready for the great tribulation time.
Yes,
it's a Jewish book to Jewish people. And there's things we can learn from it, glean from it, and it's good for us, but it's not to us and it's not for us. It's for our understanding. It's for our encouragement. There's all kinds of, principles that we can apply to our lives. But if we doctrinally apply those things, we're going to be heretics. And there's a bunch of heretics out there. And it's important that we be able to know who our minister is, who our apostle is, who God sent to the Gentile, and what kind of church we are. We're not the church in the wilderness. We're the church that's come out of the wilderness.
Amen.
We're the church that is not in the wilderness, but are in Christ. They were outside. They were following Christ. But they were outside. It was a church that was outside of Christ. Matter of fact, they had to put the tabernacle outside of the camp because they kept messing up so bad, and God was ready to kill them all. He ain't ready to kill us. We're in Christ. We pass from death unto life.
Amen.
So it's important that we understand where we are and what God is doing in this age and in this dispensation and who our minister is. Brother Joe, for years, has taught that in this class. And yet, I think there's some people just don't seem to have gotten a hold of it. Well, I want you to get a hold of it. Rest in it. Well, I'm going to tell you, because in Christ, you can rest in Him. You ain't got to hang on. Just hang. He's holding. A lot of people, they trying to hold on. I'm holding on to the end. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get tired, you're going to fall off too. I'm just hanging. He's doing all the holding. I'm just hanging out with Him and He's holding me. I'm in Christ. And there's nothing, can't nobody get, if one devil could get through Christ against me, you know what you'd have? A saved devil. So, you ain't got to worry. You're secure and safe. If you're in Christ, you are, it's settled. It's done. I thank God for that. Hey, now notice this. Let's go back over here in Ephesians. We find out there, 15:1, that who our minister is. Go back to Romans. I'm sorry. Let's look at 11 through 13. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you're full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. What I wanted you to see right there, here we see what the Gentile world's response is to his gospel. When the Apostle Paul came, he preached. Now, I want you to understand, there's more than one gospel in the Bible. You realize that, don't you? There's more than one gospel. The word gospel means good news, truth.
Yes, sir.
But there's more than one gospel. There's the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. That's what John preached. John the Baptist, he preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, which is the good news that God's going to set up that kingdom upon this earth. But we're not building a kingdom. And the kingdom is not set up. So our gospel, we're not preaching as the Jehovah's Witnesses are trying to do. We're not trying to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
And again, if you do not have this straight in your head, you'll be like them. You'll be preaching a heretical doctrine. It's important that we understand this. Hey, you think that they arrived there without the script? They arrived there with the scriptures. It's the scriptures. God laid them traps out there for unbelievers. Those that would not receive Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
But it's just like Jesus said words that led them to believe that, well, He's not God. He's simply the Son of God.
Yeah.
And the way you hear Jesus say it sometimes, you would think that they were right. But He made it plain who He was in the Scriptures. And you got to understand, yes, he was man. Yes, he was Son of God. Yes, he was subject to God. And he said, my God. Did he not? And they said, now why would he call him my God if he was God? Is he talking to himself? I said, well, kind of. I can't explain that, but I know that he was very God. They said, well, he never did accept worship. I said, where have you been? You ain't read your Bible very good, because if you look in there, there's a lot of times when they come in and worship him, and he accepted that worship. Never seen John the Baptist accept. Never saw an angel. He wasn't an angel, because you never seen an angel of the Lord accept worship, unless it was the angel of the Lord, which was God himself. So, he accepted worship. He was God. But, if you're not able to rightly divide the Scriptures and know the truths of this, you'll be in all kind of heresy. Paul spoke about his gospel. His gospel. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, you know whose gospel that was? That was Christ's gospel. That they were given to preach to the world of his death, his work on this earth, what he came to do, which was to die for the sins of the world, conquer death and hell, raise victorious, and build himself a church.
Amen.
Now, Paul's gospel, now, did Paul not preach the gospel of Christ? Yes. That's the foundation, that's right. He couldn't lay no other. That's the only foundation that there was. He laid that foundation first. Now, Peter and them preached the gospel of the kingdom, but did they not preach the gospel of Christ? Yes, they did. Because that was a Jewish church. The kingdom was being still offered to them. It was still being offered to the nation, but the nation rejected it. But every Jewish believer then came into the church. They became one body. But up until they were cut off as a nation, every Jew came in under that dispensation of the kingdom of heaven. They were believers. They were looking for the return of Christ. They were baptized looking for that return. Baptism, water baptism was required by them to receive the Spirit of God. Hey, he preached it on Pentecost, did he not? He got up there and he preached. He said, what should we do? He said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You will receive the promise of the Father. It was required. They submitted themselves to that baptism. And when they did, they received the Spirit of God. Now, we don't find that about the nation of Israel. The Gentiles. Could you imagine Peter's mind, how he was shocked? Now you look at him. These things were hid. These were mysteries. They were hid to him. They were hid to Peter. They were hid to all the apostles. In the 9th chapter, God tells Peter, he said, go down there to the house of Cornelius. He prayeth. And as he preached to them and they heard the word of God, what happened? They were born again because they believed. And the Spirit of God came upon them and they began to speak in other tongues. He said, what about the other tongues? It was required. Peter couldn't have believed without that. He couldn't have accepted them Gentiles except God had revealed through a sign that they had been accepted of God. He said, who can forbid water? See how things say? I'll never forget, old fella, I was out visiting. Me and Bill Cranfield was over here on the north side of Salisbury knocking doors. And this old fella come up there. He was just singing, and singing hymns and stuff. Come up there. He had just come from a church meeting, Church of Church Christ. And he come up through there and he said, and he was always happy and excited and everything. And he said, and we introduced ourselves and told him who I was. And And I said, do you know for sure you're saved? He said, oh yeah, I've been baptized. I said, well, that's good, you've been baptized, you know. I said, but you know, water don't have nothing to do about being saved. That's something you do after you're saved. I said, you know for sure you've been saved. And he said, well, what were you baptized into? That's what he asked me. What were you baptized? I said, ignorance. He said, do what? I said, ignorance. I said, when I got baptized, I didn't have a clue what it was all about. I just read the Bible, said, believe and be baptized, and that's what I did. But I was ignorant about baptism. I was ignorant about a lot of things. I thought, but I was saved, and God has since taught me some things, and I took him down there and led him all the way up to the house of Cornelius. I said, you see, they received the word, they believed the Spirit of God, they were baptized by Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. I said, that's the only baptism that counts. Water ain't going to make you right with God. Only Jesus Christ can baptize a person into the church. He said, are you saying I'm lost? I said, no, I ain't saying nothing. I said, I'm just telling you what the Bible said. I said, but if you don't know. And I gave him the gospel of Christ. And Christ died for our sins and buried and rose again from the dead. I said, look, if you're not sure, and you want him in your life, I said, will he come if you ask him? And he said, yes. And so he called upon him that night, and he went on up the road, singing and rejoicing. Now, I'm saying he was lost, but one thing about it, Brother Rick, he left there knowing more than what he got there with.
Yes, sir.
He came up there with heretical teaching in his mind and left. He laid it aside. Now, did he lay it aside permanently? I don't know. That's between him and God. But he laid it down that day. And it's important that we know and we can be able to rightly divide the word of truth, and it is important to know who your minister is. And notice right here, he said that they believed, and it says, and these Gentiles trusted in Christ. Don't talk nothing about water, don't talk about, it just says they believed. And he, in 15 says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly in you, in some sort of putting you in mind because of the grace that is given me of God that I should be the minister. And now we're looking at Paul begins to teach them the gospel that God has given to them, that the mysteries that are found, and take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If we don't know these in this class by now, all I got to say is shame on us. In 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1, let a man so account of us and the stewards, give account of us, of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, you know, most people, when you start talking about stewards, first thing they go to is what? Mammon, money. First thing they think about is money. Or attending church regular. Faithful to the house of God. Faithful to come to church. Faithful to read your Bible. Faithful to money. But right here, he's saying faithful stewards of what? What are you faithful stewards of in this verse?
God.
Huh?
No,
go back and read it.
Mysteries.
Let a man so account of us and stewards of the mysteries of God. These mysteries that were hidden through the ages and nobody understood. Nobody was given those mysteries. None of the prophets knew about it. Daniel wrote about some of these mysteries in his book, and it made him sick. It made him sick because he couldn't figure it out. His mind was going, boom, boom, what is this? I don't understand.
And God says, don't worry about it. They're shut up. Do you realize there's a lot of things that we don't understand that's been shut up to us?
Amen.
For they're not for us to know yet. You don't know about what all is going to go on in tribulation.
Come on.
There's things about this coming dispensation. There's a couple dispensations left. That dispensation of the kingdom. And boy, you go over there and you get over there and you start taking those parables of the kingdom and start making application to the church, and you're going to be making some very serious mistakes. You're going to be guiding some people in some very serious mistakes. I've read where men, I'm talking about men who, they're nationally known and talk about how that, oh, God, Jesus Christ spoke to them through parables so they could understand better. No, he spoke to them in parables so hearing they couldn't hear and that they couldn't understand. He didn't want them to understand. He didn't want them to understand. Why? He said, lest they should call upon me and I should save them.
Amen.
He said, if they called upon him, he already told them. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, mm-hmm. what? Shall be saved. He didn't want to call upon him to be saved. You said, why would he be like that? Because he knew their heart.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No devil wants to go to hell. No devil wants to perish. No devil, you know, wants to suffer throughout eternity in a lake of fire. And everybody will buy fire insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yep. Every church member will buy fire insurance. You get up there and you preach hell hot enough to a church over and over again, you know what they're going to do? They're going to start coming down to that altar and they're going to, oh, God, I don't want to save me from hell, but that don't mean that there's been no repentance. Because repentance ain't turning from your sins. It's turning from yourself.
Amen.
And wanting Him.
Amen.
This is important that we really lay hold of this. Then look at 14 through 21. This is the world's response, the Gentile nation. We should know these. We should be faithful to these mysteries, and we should know the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness. Hey, the mystery of the Gentile church, the mystery of blindness and pardon have come unto Israel. We need to know these mysteries of the catching away of the church. We need to know these mysteries. We need to be able to understand these mysteries and teach these mysteries. We're to be faithful stewards of these mysteries. And if we don't even know what they are, how faithful are we to them? It's important that we lay these things because they've been committed to us, these mysteries. And Job coming in, he gave us them things to study those mysteries so we would know those mysteries and we could give them to our families, to our children. Sometimes, you know, I lay it out to my son-in-law, and you know, and they take me to Bible college.
Yeah.
They've been to Bible college. And they're like, what? What are you talking about?
You heard it.
They're believers. They're saved. But nobody has taught them to be faithful to these mysteries. Somebody's got to. Somebody has got to do it. And you can't say you haven't heard about them because you've heard about them for years. If you sat in this class with Brother Joe Allen, he's taught us.
And showed us that how important it was we be faithful to these and teach them to our children.
It's important to know
that there's a church that's going out of here. You know, the average church, they don't know the difference between the second advent of Christ and the catching away of the church. Why do you think we got all these people that even yet, after all of these years of realizing that these ideas of a post-millennial and all that stuff is insane. The world ain't getting better. It's waxing worse and worse. The post-millennial said, you know, it would just get better and better until Christ would, you know, come in and take the throne. And there's all kinds of false, heretical teachings out there that we need, that you can show and teach these mysteries faithfully, that they cannot deny the truth. Now, like I said, I can't know everything about the coming kingdom and a lot of that kid. But you know what? There's no reason why we can't know these mysteries, this gospel that's been committed to Paul, because Paul is committed to us, and he said, I've taught you that you might have knowledge of these things. So we need to have knowledge of these things, and we need to teach these others. That's what he just admonished them over there in the book of Romans. I know, hey, that you were able, you know, to teach as well. And beginning 14, he said, I myself am persuaded you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I've written a more boldly in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up to the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And that's the only way that we're accepted is through the person of the Holy Spirit. And I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. So, that's the world's response. We see what the Jews' response is. And then we see the mystery of Christ to the Gentile. See, if I get up here and I had a big old place up here and I started painting a little something over here and a little something over there and a little something over there, and you might say, well, I think that's going to be a deer. You know, it's like you're painting a deer over here. And is these some geese over here? And it looks like it might be a lake or something down there. Yeah, but you don't know the whole picture. You know why? Because it's not all been painted yet. Or maybe I could just put a drape on it and you see the bottom there. You know? And you see this world with all its glories and all its facets. You know what I'm saying? But you say, oh, that's the world. And then, boy, I pull it up. And if we could just see the face of God, that's what God is doing. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation with that in mind and trying to bring our mind to what these about these Gospels. Let me see here. Revelation chapter 10. I'm not done, but we're running out of time. I want to go back and show the completion of these mysteries is found in 10, Revelation 10. Look in verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Anybody got a clue what that angel sounded? If you do, raise your hand. I'd like to be taught. Got it figured out? I don't know what he's sounding either. But that angel's going to finish that thing out, and he's going to proclaim. And the Bible says right there that the mystery of God shall be finished. We've seen the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was a mystery. Nobody knew about Jesus Christ when he came and died for the sins of the world. John the Baptist didn't know about that. He said, do you read him or is there another? When he told Peter and them plainly with his mouth, he said, the Son of Man is going to the cross, he's going up to Jerusalem, he's going to be betrayed into the Gentiles, he's going to be crucified. What Peter said, not so!
Yes, sir.
Huh? Why? You're the Messiah. That can't be true. You're going to set up the kingdom. You're going to rule and reign in righteousness forever and forever. You think he just said that because he just sprang up out of himself? That's just what he wanted? That's what he'd been taught his whole life. And it was a mystery. It was hidden unto him. Or how much stuff is being taught in our Baptist churches because we have not been faithful to the mysteries that are now hidden to our children and our grandchildren if we don't start trying to make a difference. We discussed this long and hard last night in my house. The need to start getting some things correct. And it's got to start with our. Hey, it's got to start somewhere. Why not your children? Why not your grandchildren?
Yes, sir.
It's got to start somewhere. And it's up to us that know these things that we apply them to our life. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 19. 6 verse 19. And as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. The good news. The good news of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. And the good news of his gospel. Both of those is contained. He's just spreading over. He said, God has given me some good news to preach. And he's asking them to pray for him that he might be able to have utterance. Aren't you glad of knowing that you're in Christ?
Yes, sir. Amen.
What if you didn't know that? What if you didn't know that from the scripture, if that mystery had not been revealed to us? You imagine what every day would be like? A struggle, wondering. Why do you think all these people struggle so hard about their salvation?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Because this mystery has not been opened to them, has not been taught to them. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad to know that there is coming a time. And this mystery of the resurrection, we're going out of here. But there's come a time the church is going to be called out. Ain't you glad to know about that? You can be like a lot of churches out there. Well, just figure you're just going to lay there in the dirt until, you know, the final resurrection, you know. Then you'll be judged for your works, whether it be good or bad. And if you've got enough good, you can get in heaven. If you don't, sorry about that. There goes. Take and bind it, hand and foot. Take over and catch them off like fire. What primitive Baptist way? How'd you like to live your life like that? Hey, well, nobody knows. Which means God's a liar because he told us these things that were written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. And it's good that we know these things and teach these things diligently. Be faithful to these mysteries. And I don't care what verse you find in this Bible, you can lay them underneath one of those mysteries. And that's the reason why it's so important that we learn what God has got to say to us. The mystery of the gospel. To everyone that believeth, 1 Corinthians 4:1, the mystery is contained in Paul's gospel, the Word of God. Those mysteries are woven all the way through the Word of God. They're not hidden. They have now been declared unto us. We have now knowledge of them, and we need to know them faithfully. We know that we're secure in Christ because of the mysteries that's now been revealed in the Scripture. We find in Romans 2:16 how this Paul's gospel. We'll probably go over this next week in Romans 2:16, Romans 16:25, 1 Corinthians 9:17, Galatians 2:1-7, 1 Corinthians 15:51, Ephesians 5:32, Colossians 1:26-27, Colossians 2:2, Colossians 4:3, 2 Thessalonians 2:7 deals with these mysteries. 1 Timothy 3:9, and of course, 1 Timothy 3:16, the mystery of godliness. Those mysteries we're to be faithful to, that are found within Paul's gospel to a Gentile church. Good news, folks. Good news. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. You know what the good news is? We've been redeemed. We're saved.
Amen.
It don't have us. We're not blind. We should be able to see the truth. And as we looked at last week over there, that God has given us knowledge that we can discern principalities and powers, whether they be of God or whether they be of this world or whether they be of the devil. That's good news. They're available. We were discussing this yesterday. We were talking about miracles. I said, is it not a miraculous thing every time somebody gets saved and a person would believe? You know, we go out here, we tell somebody that these Romans murdered a man on the cross, and that'll save you for eternity. And the blood that shed, that come down that cross, will make you clean and righteous before God. And then we tell them that on 3 days after he laid in the grave, he got up and walked around. And he arose again from the dead. And that he ascended up into heaven and took that blood that he had shed and put it upon the mercy seat of God.
Amen.
You don't think it's a miracle that we believe that? Not only believe it, we know it to be a fact.
Amen. Yeah.
We can see it. It's more real. It's more real than being in this room right now to me. I don't know about you, but it's more real than being in this room. A miracle. Because I know what it was like before I believed it. And before I received it. It seemed like something was way off somewhere. I've heard about it. I don't know, it's kind of hard to believe that, you know. But faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this is as sure as anything to us that believe. What a great miracle. What a great miracle that God still moves through His church, changes people's lives, hey, gives power to His Word. We know He's coming again. Despite everything that the scientists lie about, we know that He's coming again. That He did not rot over in the grave. He He's alive. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within. Amen. Ask me how I know. Old fellow told me one time, I said, I don't know, I just can't see that blind faith. I said, that's a problem. You're blind. I said, if you had faith, you wouldn't be blind. You could see afar off. See, all you can see is right in front of you. But when you receive Christ Jesus, all eternity is opened up. You see what's going on. See, start seeing the picture. I don't see it all.